At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
We are the Two Mikes, and it's time for yet another edition, a sparkling edition of our On The Record podcast. Mike Porky Parry is here. I'm Mike Graham. What have you been looking at this week, Porky?
OK, MG, tell me, what do you love most about shaving with Harry's?
Well, you know what I love about shaving with Harry's? It is a fantastic, fantastic feeling to shave with Harry's, because I don't do shaving very often. I only do it like once every couple of days. But what I can find and what I can tell you is that a nice wet shave with Harry's is absolutely fantastic, because the blades are really, really sharp, right? You get rich lather shave gel,
right?
And you can get a lovely sort of lather going. I like to have a very smooth shave.
You like a smooth shave?
I like a smooth shave because I've taken to wearing a lot of aftershave products as well. So I like a bit of a smooth shave so I can slap on the old cologne.
You do.
It feels fantastic with Harry's, I tell you. Of course, you don't use them, do you? Because you've got a beard.
Before I get onto my beard, and by the way, if you've got a beard, these Harry's razors are just exactly what you want, believe me.
Okay.
But Harry's have a special offer for Two Mikes listeners, offering a trial set for £3.95. All you have to do is go to harrys.com/Mike.
Excellent.
Now, let me tell you about the beard.
Yeah, how do you use it around a beard?
Well, you see, what I love about these Harry's products is that the razor itself is a weighted ergonomic handle.
Really?
Now, this fantastic weighted ergonomic handle, it means I can get around the wonderful contours of my face, around my jaw.
There's plenty of weight around your jaw, isn't there? You can get around that.
There's not plenty of weight around my jaws, mate, but my beard needs to be kept like a garden would keep his hedges, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can do it smoothly up from the neck, smoothly down from the cheeks, smoothly around the jawbone and the jawline, and it makes all for a fantastic shave. 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover, all comes in the package.
That's it. Get started shaving with Harry's today by claiming your trial set for £3.95. Just go to harrys.com/Mike right now.
That's absolutely right. Wow, £3.95? You can't even get a pint of beer in London for that. Get busy, folks.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about something that happened to me a couple of weeks ago, okay?
Right.
And which I fear is going to happen again.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
you haven't been attacked again, have you?
No, I have not been attacked, no.
How are they getting on with those moped guys, by the way?
Well, do you know, it seems to have gone away, doesn't
it?
It seems to have gone away. Since I raised the hue and cry, I made such a huge public issue of it, being attacked in the middle of the night by a bunch of bums, you know. Oven glove wearing scumbags, scroats, call them what you want, but scumbags, filth, pieces of filth which don't deserve to.
Well, they seem to have stopped robbing people
society.
And stabbing each other instead.
Yeah, well,
that seems to be where it's all moved.
I don't like to, talk about anybody being stabbed or death or all that kind of stuff, but you'll find a lot of activity going around with these shocking killings in London related to drug trade and all that. Well, I'm not in the drug trade, so I don't want to be attacked, and I don't want anybody else to be attacked, so don't do it.
Right.
Anyway, what I was going to say to you was, I come out of work a couple of weeks ago, and I want to get across Blackfriars Bridge, which is very close to our Talksport Tower studios.
Yes. Well, you're going north of the river, then?
North of the river. Mm. And I'm going over to Fleet Street, actually, see somebody.
Okay.
And although I could walk, there was no traffic. So I said to one of 12 policemen...
So you couldn't get a cab or anything like that?
Couldn't get a cab. There was no traffic moving over Blackfriars Bridge.
Right.
So I said to one of 12 policemen, Has there been a terrorist incident?
Yeah.
And he said, no. I said, what are you all doing here?
Right.
It's the climate change march.
No, for God's sake.
I said, what do you mean climate change march?
Well, a collection of planks.
And there was a new group, and a few of these fruitcakes, right, were waving banners.
Right.
Some new group about, you know, earth extinction, save it, and all that kind of bollocks, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I said, yeah, it's not going to be extinct under any circumstances, you know. And this particular person was typically looking unwashed.
Yes.
And, you know...
Was he one of the great unwashed?
One of the great unwashed, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
There were two of them. One was a man, one was a woman.
OK.
They both looked unwashed.
OK.
And useless. Mm. And I said, why are you closing down London? And they said triumphantly, what do you mean? I said, Blackfriars Bridge isn't working. She said, oh, don't worry, we've closed another four down. Mm. They're all closed. And they were.
Well, why, afternoon. Why are they closing the bridges down?
Because they said that climate change is now an even more important issue in the world than nuclear war, than any form
of... We haven't
actually
had a nuclear war.
No, that's right, yeah. Than any form of political situation that's arising.
What, you mean more dangerous than Donald Trump?
More dangerous than Donald Trump.
Right.
More dangerous than terrorism.
Yeah.
More dangerous than pestilence is climate change, okay?
Well, I mean, there are some people in California who are claiming that it's climate change that's causing all these fires.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure if that's true.
Well, the President Donald Trump actually denied that and said that is not true.
Well, that doesn't mean it's true, though, if he says it's
It doesn't mean it's
true
or untrue, but no. I mean, you know...
He claims it's because they haven't looked after the forests
that's
properly.
That's right, yeah.
Which, in fact, is a little bit disingenuous because it turns out that he hasn't given them the money look after the forests.
He said the forests have become combustible because people aren't looking after them.
Yeah.
But also, several people have been charged with setting fire to fires.
I've never understood that.
Setting fire to wood in California, and you know, if you set fire to anything in California that time of the year, it's going to spread like wildfire, which is what eventually
happens.
Which
is what wildfire does.
Exactly, yeah.
Isn't that one of the great clips of the week? I think it's from it's Old Psycho, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, Stuart Pearce.
Well, yeah,
where he says that, you know, the wildfire is literally spreading like wildfire.
Mm.
Or was it one of yours? I can't remember. I don't remember if it was one of yours.
Could be one of mine.
The wildfire that spreads like
wildfire.
Anyway,
point of the story is...
Did you have a row with these characters then?
I just said, I've not got anything better to do.
Mm.
Oh, what we're doing is saving the world. Yeah, we're not saving my world, just making my world more difficult, you know.
But hang on, you still haven't explained why they shut the bridges. Who shut the bridges?
The police.
Why?
To allow the marchers to march over the bridge on the roads.
Are you joking?
No, I'm not joking.
What, backwards and forwards across the river?
No.
Why did they have to shut five fucking bridges?
Yeah, that's right, five bridges. Because what happened was, to start off, it was a peaceful march, but then every time they went over a bridge, a group of about 20 of the great unwashed would sit on the road and refuse to move.
Uh-huh.
And the police said, we can't open the bridge until they move.
That's ridiculous.
They you know, they didn't get hard with them, didn't get heavy with them, didn't drag them off the road.
What about
so they
cyclists? Because were cyclists not allowed to go either?
Oh, the only part of the bridge that they didn't close were the cycle lanes.
No, really?
Yes, absolutely.
What a load of old bollocks.
I know. And doesn't that drive
Thank God I wasn't in London to see that.
Mad.
I may have had to drive over the bridge.
So anyway, on that particular occasion, I'm going to do this again, because apparently there's another one coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
I took a picture of this and I sent out a tweet saying...
I saw that.
Children are being murdered on our streets in London.
Yes.
I said, all sorts of crimes are, you know, moped muggers and all that going amiss.
Uh-huh.
Hate crime now takes up over half the time of the Metropolitan Police Force.
It does.
So why are bridges closed for peace marchers, which on that day, because I asked an officer... How many officers are involved in this action day? He said 300 that I know of. I said 300 police officers involved on just watching a bridge so that climate change people can disrupt the
whole of London.
I thought
they didn't have enough police officers to investigate any crime.
Absolutely.
Well, have you seen this one? This one will really get you going.
Yeah.
A woman called Alison Hernandez, who's apparently the lead on road safety for the police and crime commissioners of this country, right?
Yeah.
She's suggesting that you should get fined more money when you speed than you currently do. She says £100 is not good enough.
Yeah.
She wants to raise the speeding fine to £130.
Who's this woman?
She is the woman who is called the lead on road safety for police and crime commissioners. Nobody knows what that job is. Nobody knows who appointed her.
Is this woman an official appointed by the state?
Yes, she is. She is responsible for road safety for the police and crime.
So she's allowed, on the back of my taxes,
yeah,
to spout all this propaganda,
yes,
about stopping anybody in a car from driving.
Yeah, that's right.
Basically, yeah.
She wants you to pay 130 quid. Well, you'd be in terrible trouble, actually, if you got done for speeding of any kind.
Yeah.
Because rather like the Ant and Dec situation,
yeah,
remember Ant got fined 86 grand?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
It was true that he was drunk driving, which, of course, you don't do.
No.
However, if you get done for speeding,
yeah,
they have the ability now to actually charge you as per your income.
That's right, they do.
So when they find out how wealthy you are,
yeah,
you'll get done for about 50 grand.
I would lie.
What do you mean you would lie?
And I wouldn't
you
pay 50 grand.
You can't lie.
I would.
You can't lie to the police.
I will lie
That's
to
an
the
offence.
Police. No.
You can't say you'll lie to the police. You must rescind that immediately.
I rescind that immediately. I will not lie to the police. But I will do everything
but
I can.
You just said you would.
I will do everything I can to make sure...
To mask the truth.
...that I am not unfairly punished for going 3 miles over the speed limit.
Listen to this. Most of us who are caught speeding would face bigger fines and higher fees for driver awareness courses under controversial proposals from a policing chief. Now, Alison Hernandez is lobbying ministers to hike the cost of both the penalty charge and the National Driver Offender Retraining Scheme, right? Now, you went to one of those, didn't you?
I did.
The dangerous driving course.
No, I went to a speed awareness course.
Right. Well, she wants the price of those courses to go up so that you pay even
more
money.
At the moment, £87.50.
Well, she wants that to go up to over 100 quid. And she wants the fines to go to 130.
It's disgraceful.
You know?
The whole damn thing's disgraceful.
Shocking.
So while these 300 police officers on a Saturday afternoon, when you should allow police to take time off because it's not a high crime...
Well, don't let them take time off. Send them to places where crime is going on.
No, what I'm saying is all these cops were being paid on overtime.
Yes.
So that massively increases the taxation.
Right.
The
Well, that's why they all volunteer
the police
to do
bill.
It.
Of course they do.
They love volunteering for overtime.
They get paid double. They get paid double for standing around outside police vans, right, watching all these filthy, unwashed people walking over Blackfriars Bridge.
I wish I'd seen that.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I'd seen it.
It was unbelievable.
Well, you're lucky they didn't arrest you for harassing the great unwashed.
I didn't harass them. I just stared at them with lots of contempt in my face. You know?
Okay, well, I thought you said you told them, haven't you got anything better to do?
There were two of them waiting
sure
the police van.
Crime?
I said, you got nothing better to do. Well, you talk about hate crimes now. I'm putting this together now with another report I've got, which says... it says here, hate crime complaints now come in to the Metropolitan Police telephone unit once every 5 minutes. They get a hate crime complaint once every 5 minutes.
Yeah, but guess why? Because they've made everything a hate crime.
Yeah.
I mean, all you've got to do is read the papers now, and there's about 5 hate crimes a day
in
the papers, never mind what's being reported, which mostly isn't a hate crime at all.
1 in 7 of the hate crimes was considered serious enough to be referred by police to the Crown Prosecution Service, which means 6 out of 7 were investigated, but then found not to be a crime.
Funnily enough.
What a complete... fucking waste of time.
Hang on, it wasn't that long
ago. What a complete waste of time.
You'll remember
this.
And
a waste of police resources.
Well, of course, but you remember this. It was only about, what, 2 months ago, where the head of Yorkshire Police came out, the chief constable of Yorkshire Police came out and said, not only do we want you to report hate crime, we want you to report things which are not a crime so that we can keep track of them.
That's right.
So that we can actually make sure that, in fact, if there is a crime about to be committed, we can know more about why it's been committed.
And what they were basically saying, I was, we want to assess situations which are not yet criminal to make them criminal.
Right.
So we want to hear about any nasty thing that's happening, you know.
Well, it's the other, slightly other thing they're going to do. They're going to now start sending letters out to people to say, we know what you're up to.
Yes.
We know that you might be a paedophile. We haven't got enough resources to actually prosecute you. So we're now just telling you to please stop what you're doing.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's going to fucking work,
that's
isn't
right. it? Now, in this same report, it says officers are having to ignore almost 1 million offences a year.
Mm.
1 in 4 reports, including... This is all about resources, right? So they've got all these officers working on hate crimes, investigating hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of hate crimes.
Yeah.
Only 1 in 7 of which ever bear... enough evidence to be prosecuted. 6 out of 7 don't.
Right.
Just imagine the waste of time there.
Yeah.
It says police are ignoring almost 1 million offences a year. 1 in 4 reports, including sex attacks, burglaries, and robberies, is shelved with little or no investigation, sometimes within hours of being reported to the police. Okay.
Right. Well, you told me that your moped case was closed very
within
shortly
2 days.
Thereafter.
Within 2 days, I got a notice in the post.
Why didn't even bother looking for him anymore?
Got a notice in the post, which must have been posted the day after I. You know, they came to see me and said, you look very traumatised. I said, but it's not nice.
Yeah.
It's not nice to be...
They said you look traumatised.
Yeah,
you've never looked traumatised in your life.
It's not really nice to be beaten up and have your life threatened.
I thought you fought them off.
I did fight them off, but I'm still had my life threatened. If I hadn't beaten them off, I might have, you know, been in a much more serious situation.
Well, lucky you weren't the victim of a hate crime like certain people we could mention.
That's right. So the cops shelved that within 2 days, okay? Mm. So, you know, we've closed the case. They didn't even open the case. Yeah. It was outrageous.
Of course not.
They spent more time looking for the nutter who was putting screws underneath the tyres of my, you know, top-of-the-range Mercedes.
Did they ever find that person?
No, never found him either.
Who do you think it was?
Oh, he was somebody who's envious of my success in life. You
know,
it happens all the time.
You fucked off.
Well, could have been. Yeah, yeah. No, that happens, doesn't it? Yeah. Anyway, it says here.
One of your many enemies.
So, David Green of the.
Who's he?
He's from the Civitas think tank.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of them.
Yeah, good. He says, at a time when the police complain they're short-staffed, they appear to be pandering to politically correctness at every turn. Now the government has asked the Law Commission to investigate whether new groups should be added to those already covered by hate crime, including people with ginger hair. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Hate crime is defined.
What if you used to have ginger hair? Like, you used to have ginger
hair. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So can you now still be a victim of hate crime if somebody accuses you of being a ginger?
I can go and say, look, I've got freckles on my arm. People with ginger hair always have freckles.
Yeah,
so therefore,
true.
I want to be designated as ginger.
Well, you could be a protected
minority. Yeah, right. Yeah. But you heard about the one a few weeks ago now where an old lady is in a petrol station and she's got her petrol in.
Yeah.
And she sat patiently waiting for the person in front. Person in front comes out, they've got their petrol and get in the car. And 2 minutes later, the person in the car in front is still sitting there.
That's very annoying, that.
Very annoying.
I find that incredibly
annoying. So the old lady behind hoots her horn. The person in the car in front, and it's a big 4x4, much bigger car than hers.
Yeah.
Door opens, she leaps out. It's a coloured woman who runs up to her, starts smashing on her door window, and basically accused her of
a racist
hate crime.
That's ridiculous.
And reported her to the police.
And what happened then?
The police arrived. Police arrived.
Yeah.
And said that it didn't bear enough evidence to actually prosecute. But what a waste of police time again.
Absolutely.
What a complete waste of police time.
I saw a guy in a garage the other day and he had a top of the range Mercedes similar to yours.
Right.
And he was having terrible trouble shutting the petrol cap.
Oh, yeah, because the spring kept coming back. No, I haven't.
I've had that problem with Mercedes before.
Yeah, right, okay.
The little catch doesn't quite work properly.
Yeah, I know what you mean, and you have to bang it again.
This guy was banging it, wasn't having it, kept springing out. And, I mean, it was driving him insane, because he was trying to shut it before he went in to pay.
Yeah.
And then he went in to pay having shut it. When he came out, it popped open again.
Yeah.
And I think they're very well made.
Well, I think they're pretty well made. What's that got to do with hate crimes, by the way?
Well, we were talking about
ring up Mercedes and accuse them of a hate crime to give me a car where the petrol tank doesn't close?
All I'm saying is that if you've got an inferior car, you have to be careful that you don't have the petrol running out the back of it because you can't shut the petrol cap.
Well, it's actually, that is the flap.
So it has happened to you. You know it has.
No. The cap itself you screw on. So the petrol inside is
quite safe. Well, I'm talking about the bit that you shut.
Yeah, the flap. Yeah, the flap doesn't go. Met Probe attacks on redheads, not just redheads.
Mm-hmm.
OAPs, right?
Yeah.
OAPs can now be victim of hate crime.
Transgender
call them old.
People are obviously
transgender
there,
people, but also goths.
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 Why goths?
Don't know. What is a goth? A goth is a layabout, a great unwashed layabout who puts a leather coat on, paints his face, you know, sort of like a vampire, doesn't he? And
goes
around.
Well, they can be a bit vampire-y.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
They're not necessarily vampires. They can be anything. They're a bit sort of like the. Have you seen that show Twilight? Which is about vampires.
I think so.
It's actually about vampires.
I think they
made a couple of movies as well. But you can also be a goth.
I think I know of it anyway.
You can also be a goth if you quite like sort of studied affairs, like a studied lip or a studied.
By the way, when I see somebody with a metal ring through their nostril, I think you dirty bastard.
Yeah.
Because no matter how much you try to blow your nose, some of your snot is going to get.
Why would I want to think about that?
Well, you do! It's going to get you caught by that ring in your nostril, you filthy
guy,
bastard,
Evan,
right?
What's his name? The guy who used to do Newsnight. What's his name? You know, Evan, the tall,
I don't know,
bald guy that used to present Newsnight. He's gone back to Radio 4 now.
Oh, is he?
Evan Davis, is it?
Evan Davis, I think. You're right.
He's
got
a Prince Albert.
Well, I don't want to get into
that. Why are you looking at me like that?
That's disgusting.
Well,
I didn't even know what a Prince Albert was until a female producer of ours at Talk Sport. Announced one day over a few drinks, well, my boyfriend's got one.
Oh, really?
And I didn't even know what one was.
Really?
I have a very naive life when it comes to these sort of things.
As you've been explaining recently.
Yeah, and to suddenly
learn.
So
did she have to explain it to you?
Yes, in graphic terms.
Right.
And I didn't want to know.
No.
But, I mean.
It must hurt like hell to get it put in.
Well, look, there may be people listening to this who don't even know what we're talking about.
No.
But it's basically having a metal ring inserted into the nobular head of your penis.
Pedicular structure.
Yes, that's right, yes.
It doesn't bear thinking about.
Well, what other doesn't bear thinking about?
How can you be interviewed by a guy sitting there with one of those?
I don't know.
You know, about the serious economic prospects of the country. Well, what if you're the Chancellor of the Exchequer?
Presumably he's not actually showing it at the time that he's interviewing you.
I would hope not. Yeah, I would certainly hope not. Yeah. But I could not be interviewed by somebody who had one of those, knowingly, you know, sitting there with it in. Do you know what I mean?
He doesn't bear thinking about.
No. What about the
anyway, listen,
people that have got sort of like, they've sometimes got metal studs sort of just above their upper lip.
Hate it.
Or sometimes in the cheek.
But the other worst thing is
Because I don't care about tattoos anymore, do you? I mean, most people now would accept. Because the police have been talking about this lately.
That's right.
Because apparently they used to have a law which basically said that you can have a tattoo if you're a police officer, but you can't be visible.
No, it's got to be under
your shirt
and all that.
They're now saying that you can actually have a visible tattoo.
Yeah, I think it's disgraceful. I think standards in this country are failing. But people, you know, 50 years ago were saying things like long hair. You know what I mean? Long hair, disgusting, and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But long hair, I mean, changes the older you get. But you can't take tattoos off. Well, you can, but it's very painful.
You can, but it's very painful. Yeah. But there's nothing worse. I sometimes, you don't see it so much now, but when my kids were in this rather grotty school down in Sussex, a lot of the older women, like the grandparents, I guess, would go and pick the kids up sometimes in the afternoon.
That's right.
And I'd go into the playground and they'd have these faded old tattoos.
Yeah, yeah.
With the kind of flappy skin.
Well, these are people from real, dead, rough council housing estates, weren't they?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But then,
I'm not
women
suggesting everybody who lives on a council, I say, is dead rough. Not for a moment.
No, of course, you wouldn't want to say that.
But, I mean, there are some scumbag estates.
There are some very bad estates.
When I used to deliver lemonade and dandelion and burdock from the Corona Pop Wagon.
Well, you weren't delivering dandelion and burdock to the Sink Estates, were you?
Yeah, you were, yeah, yeah.
Really?
You had to go to some real terrible places.
Well, who drinks that in Ellesmere Port? Ellesmere Port.
Yeah, yeah, that's really? Right. Yeah, honestly, yeah, it was awful, shocking.
But you used to make quite a decent living out of selling that stuff, didn't you?
I did, yeah, yeah. Because I used to replace, sometimes, I'd replace empty lemonade bottles with water from the farmer's tap on the way home.
Is that dangerous?
Well, not the farmer's tap.
Could they not get mad cow disease or something?
Oh, no. It was a proper tap, you know. It was a proper tap.
Are you sure?
You know? Yeah, I used to fill the...
It's a very irresponsible way to operate.
Yeah, I know, but, I mean, that's the sort of thing people did when they were young and irresponsible. Hmm. Just to finish this subject, right, I've worked out the next way for you and I to get compensation.
Oh, really?
Because if...
What makes you think we're due any compensation?
Well, because we haven't had any and loads of other people have, right? So guess what? I've discovered.
How are we going to get it then?
Well, we're going to claim that we're a victim of misandry.
Oh, misandry! Yes, I've heard about this.
Misandry,
yeah,
right?
I like this, yeah.
So for years we've been told about misogyny.
Yeah, yeah.
Misogyny is hatred of women. You know, allegedly hatred of women.
Yeah.
Now the great thing I've discovered about misandry is that it doesn't have to be a woman who's misandrying you.
Okay.
So
can
for
it
instance,
be another bloke?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, good.
So for instance, we go to some half bake, you know, who's got some idea to do something,
right?
And we do it properly, and then the half bake doesn't understand,
right?
And well, I think we then accuse them of misandry, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you don't have to be a woman to hate a man.
Right.
You can be a man hating a man.
You
so it's man hate on man, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man on man crime.
That's right, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
How much can you get?
Well, hundreds of thousands, I hope, you know, by saying that I'm emotionally distraught, you know. My
but
life
you
is
surely
over.
Have to show some kind of damage, though.
Yeah, of course we do.
You say you weren't employed by somebody for some
reason? No. You say the damage is all emotional. You know, I'm emotionally wrecked.
Well, that's true, you are.
Yeah, and you,
you,
say,
are an emotional
you
wreck.
Say things like, I can't get out of bed in the morning, I can't face the day, I've been a victim of misandry.
Misandry, yes.
You know, and I want compensation for it now.
A long campaign of misandry.
And if
who are you going to blame for this, though?
I'm going to blame any half-baker I've ever worked with over the last 15 years.
Who are you going to attack?
Oh, you know, I've got a list, don't worry.
You have to make sure that... sure you have.
Yeah,
you've got to make sure that whoever it is is quite wealthy, though.
Yes.
So they can bear the brunt.
Well,
you don't want to ruin them, do you?
No, hopefully they'll come from some big organisation or something. And a lot of time, of course, these chancers, they make these allegations knowing it's cheaper for the big organisation to pay them off than to fight it, you know what I mean?
Well, because it's a bit like the old car insurance racket
that
people get involved in. If you only have some kind of claim against a fellow driver, which falls below a certain threshold, the insurance company just pays out.
Yes, that's right.
The insurance company doesn't even care about whether you're actually making the right claim or not. They don't give a toss about whether you're telling the truth.
Absolutely
right.
They'll
just pay you anyway because it's more expensive to actually defend the claim than it is to give you the money.
You're absolutely right.
So maybe you're onto something.
I'm onto something.
Finally.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
I'm quite liking this compensation idea, although I'm not sure it would sit easily with my slightly more, what I would call, higher-end sort of conscience. I know you don't have a conscience, right?
I do.
You don't care whether or not you rip somebody off.
Well, I think life owes me quite a lot over the last 15 years.
Really?
My genius hasn't been properly recognised.
Really? Yeah. Well, I think you've done quite well out of it.
You've done
made
right,
quite
but,
a decent
but,
living.
But, you know, yeah, not a bad living. But
you
know,
you're comfortably off. You're not in need of anything.
Yeah, I know, but my genius has not been recognised properly.
I don't agree. I think your genius has been well recognised.
Really?
At this point, actually, we should say you can still get tickets for the greatest show on earth,
just
which
about.
Is, of course, December the 16th.
Just about.
At the Sheffield Empire.
It's only a couple of weeks away now.
Nearly all the tickets are gone, but you can still get tickets. Go on to Ticketmaster UK and find them there. Put in the two mics, Sheffield Bridge Empire, December the 16th.
Right, okay. Now, I'll tell you what I'll talk to you about a new social trend, all right? Yeah. And you and I could get into this, maybe individually or together.
Uh-huh.
But all the time we go out, okay?
Yeah.
Well, we don't go out all the time, but when we go out...
Well, when we do go out...
Yeah, we like to find a nice bar.
Yeah.
We like to find a nice restaurant.
We do.
As you get older... Would you agree with me that you kind of get more set in your ways and there are certain places you would have gone to when you were younger?
Yes.
When we were in New York, we would have tried 20 bars a week, okay?
I'm not a massive fan of a very noisy bar anymore.
No, I don't like noisy bars. And do you know what? That's interesting. I saw another report in one of my journals about the bar trade.
Yeah.
That bar men in particular and bar ladies need to be trained in the acoustic level of music in their bars.
Oh, yeah.
That their ears appreciate and that their customers appreciate.
Yeah.
Because more and more you get complaints from customers saying, excuse me, could you turn it down?
Yeah.
But the people behind the bar
are
not listening to the same that you're listening to on the other side of the bar.
Well, I guess a lot depends on where the speakers are.
Exactly.
Well,
but the speakers aren't behind the bar. Do you see what I mean?
Right.
And so you have to make complaints about it. But no, this phenomenon I've come up with, right, and it's something we should think about as we get older. If... You're set in your ways where you like a particular bar, you like particular drinks, you like particular food, you like a particular ambience.
You like a particular clientele.
Clientele, music, background music and all that.
Yeah.
Don't go out for a year, save all that money,
right.
And then turn a part of your apartment into what would be your ideal bar.
What?
Yes.
No.
And then in future,
no.
You go into the next room... That's your bar.
No.
Everybody should have a bar at
home.
That's
a stupid idea.
No, it's not. It's a great idea.
No, it's a stupid idea.
And then instead of going out and having to mix with, you know, other people, strangers, people who, you know, don't have great personal hygiene sometimes and all that kind
of
stuff.
Well, you shouldn't be going to places like that.
No, I don't go to places like that, but it's inevitable, isn't it? That people irritate
you. I've never been
People irritate me by sitting on the table next to me, right, in a bar or restaurant, and fucking talking too loud, right? They do.
Well, maybe you just shouldn't go out
they
if you're that fucking grumpy.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is what I'm
Well, maybe you could get yourself in your own little rooms. You know, when I went to Washington, D.C., you might remember this.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they still had the smoking ban in those days.
Yeah.
But I went out for dinner one night in one of those big old, you know, very male-dominated sort of steakhouses around the corner
Georgetown?
From the White House. It wasn't in Georgetown, no. It was in the centre of D.C.
Oh, I know.
It was around...
Well, give me the name, did it? On
it was
the
some,
steps there, yeah.
I can't remember the name of it.
I think it was around
about 15th Street, anyway.
Yeah.
As you came in.
Yeah.
And I went there with an old boss of mine. And we sat... And I was still smoking in those days,
right?
And we were having a tete-a-tete about my marriage breakdown, basically.
Right, okay.
And about what we should do about it.
Yes.
And he was working at the time in Toronto, and he very kindly flew down from Toronto to Washington to see me.
Hang on, your marriage breakdown didn't start in America, did it?
No, but I was in America
at
the time.
Oh, I see.
You know, working my way through it.
Yes, I see.
Basically, you know.
didn't know what to do. So I thought I would seek his counsel because he was a man that had been through similar situations.
Who was this then?
I'm not telling you.
Right, we have no secrets.
Yeah, well, no, but I'm not just telling you this, am I? I'm telling, you know, millions of people who are about to listen to this podcast.
Right, yeah.
And he may not wish to be involved.
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
That's some friend, isn't it? Didn't want to be involved, eh?
Well, no, he was involved with me. He may not wish me to tell the world that he was involved. Anyway, we went into this steakhouse, very nice steakhouse, but we said to the guys as we went in, you know, can we smoke in here? And they just brought in a no-smoking law in D.C. So it must have been around about the sort of mid to late 90s or something, I guess.
Yeah.
And but they had a room which had a table in it, but it was a sealed room. And it was behind glass, so you could actually go and have your dinner in that room.
Right.
But you could also smoke, and it was a ventilated room, so it didn't affect the rest of the restaurant.
Oh.
So we sat in this room, just the two of us, looking at everybody else.
So this... this guru of yours, he smoked as well, didn't he?
He didn't smoke, no. So he was very kind to actually sit there with me, chain-smoking Marlboros, you know, while I was explaining to him the state of my...
Which you did in those days,
Which I did, yeah, absolutely. But it was unusual, because I quite like the idea of going to a restaurant.
Yeah.
The reason I'm telling you this is, and you might like this as well, you could actually sponsor, because you're loaded enough, you could sponsor your own table behind glass, right? So it would have two... functions. One, it would help you to be less annoyed because you wouldn't be able to hear anybody. It's soundproof, right?
Yeah.
And you're in a booth on your own. You can, and everybody can see that you're a very important person because you've got your own area.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It's a sort of backstage area for you in a restaurant.
Okay.
If you like going to restaurants, you could do that.
Well, I mean, you can have private rooms in most restaurants, but I don't like private rooms because you're quite right to make the thing about the glass wall.
Yeah.
I don't like being in private rooms
because you're not like you're in prison. Yeah, because you're not also in a restaurant, really.
No, you're not. You're not. But look, what I've done is I've thought about the way ahead, and so I looked at some of my property journals, and I found this place, North Dean, Buckinghamshire, 3.45 million as a retirement home, with its own bar restaurant, which you then use. Okay,
3.45 million.
Yeah,
and then you can't afford that.
Well, it would depend on how I sort of brought together my resources,
you're
if you know
you
what I mean.
You could afford it.
What?
You said you could afford it.
No, no, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
You couldn't afford to buy a retirement home for £3.5 million.
No, no, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that should be the ambition of everybody who's maybe 20 years younger than me and aim towards that and to make that their plan for the future. Because then, literally... You don't have to depend on the world. You don't have to depend on getting a table in a restaurant. You don't have to depend on the people in the restaurant being repulsive and disgusting and you don't like them.
Well, hang on. If you've got your own restaurant, though, you presumably have to have staff to run your own restaurant.
Well, yeah.
You'd have to hire a load of people. So not only would you be paying $3.45 million, for a house with its own restaurant.
Yeah.
You'd have to pay a load of people a salary to work there.
Well, yes, but it would only be like twice a week when you decide to have a few friends round and put some dinner on and all that.
No, you can't just hire people for two nights a week.
You can.
No.
You can hire caterers. You can hire caterers. Of course you can.
Well, you can do that
for
anyway.
For an individual.
You can get caterers into your crappy of kitchen that you've got now in Stockbroker Vale, Surrey, right? And give them
carte blanche to
make whatever dinner you want.
What I'm saying is you can get proper caterers in, you can get a couple of bar staff and a couple of waiters, and you can do it exactly the way you want.
Do you remember my wedding in New York?
Very well.
Do you remember the caterers we had at that?
In the loft, in Bob's loft.
In Bob Smith's loft, We had people walking around with all sorts of really, really good food.
Yeah, we did, yeah, it was
because
good.
We rented a catering company, funnily enough, from my ex-wife's hometown in Connecticut.
Right, okay.
From Danbury, Connecticut. It was friends of hers that did it.
And did they come all the way down?
Yeah.
And did it?
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, okay.
We rented some tables, which was all organised by Dermot Begavy's wife.
Right, okay. Right,
got tablecloths for him, so the theme was all kind of pink, pink flowers. Notice any of this?
Yeah, yeah.
See, I did all. I spent all this money. You didn't fucking notice any of it.
I tell you what, my overwhelming memory of that day was there were a lot of bankers there, weren't there? Because you were doing like business stuff at the time, Sunday Times and all that. And it was a great party, Mike. It was a great reception, but it was quite packed. And
People were going across the street.
That's what I'm saying. Every now and then.
It was the Prince Street Bar. There was two receptions.
That's right.
One in the flat.
Yeah.
One of the reasons people were going over the road was there was only one toilet. We hadn't thought of that.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And so there was a big queue for the toilet. And unfortunately, because it was the 80s, quite a lot of people were in the toilet for quite a long time.
Yeah.
It was all snorting coke.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
None of them were actually going to the toilet.
Not good, not good.
Shocking state of affairs.
So anyway, I met this, I think it was a mate of yours. I can't remember his name now, but he's a hulk of a man. He's about 6 foot two.
I know exactly who you mean. A mate of mine, Martin Captain Brown.
I think he was. So I said, very posh. Should we? Yeah, he was very posh. Was he American though?
No, he was English.
English, okay, yeah, that's right, yeah. Well, it might not be the same guy, because I remember distinctly is the American way he answered, because we went across the road, but then that bar was too full, so we went up the road, to another bar. So we're coming back, and this guy's smoking a cigarette, you know, and he's full of the joys of spring, and had a lot to drink and all that, and there's a fucking bum sitting on the sitting on the pavement.
No,
I'm not joking.
It's him, because you've told me this story. It's definitely him.
And we're walking past, and all of a sudden, this poor bum sitting on the pavement, you know, says, "Hey, buddy, can you spare a dollar?" And what's his name? Martin.
Martin, yeah.
We're so shocked, you know, because he was like a Wall Street banker, and they, like, don't do anything for nothing. He stopped, looked at this guy, then he looked at me, and he said, "Hey, Mike." I said, "Yes." Yeah. "Do I look like a fucking bank?"
But it was like that in the 80s, wasn't it? People were incredibly rude to one another. I mean, New York that we went back to last year to do our show at the City Winery has completely changed. I mean, people are so nice to each other. Times Square is now like Disney World, right?
Yes.
There's no hookers hanging about. There's nobody doing crack.
Yep.
There's nobody trying to jump on your back and rob you.
Yep.
I miss all that, to be honest. I mean, I preferred New York when it was more dangerous and edgy than it is now, because now it's kind of all soft around the edges
and
it's, you know, it's just too nice.
I agree, but I mean, maybe 25, 30 years on, maybe it's a better place for us than it was then. We were full of the bravery of youth in those days.
Well,
we were,
but I'm glad we were there during that time, because I wouldn't have wanted to work there as we did if it was like it is now.
Maybe. How much butter do you eat?
I like butter.
I do.
I do like butter.
Do you have a conscience about eating butter?
You know, I don't, but my other half is always giving me a hard time, saying that I eat too much butter.
When I have
one of the things that I remember from my youth of coming home from school, because, you know, when we were at school, both my parents worked.
Right.
Well, my mother worked more than my dad. My dad used to work till about lunchtime.
Yes.
And then he'd go and play golf in the afternoon.
Yes, okay.
But they wouldn't be home till about 5-6 o'clock.
Sure.
I would get home from school at 4 o'clock, and one of my favourite things to do was to have a slice of white bread. Crusty white bread from the Hungarian bakery.
Yeah, lovely.
Where I worked.
Yeah.
A glass of milk.
Mm.
And still to this day,
one
of my favourite things to have is a piece of white bread and butter and a glass of milk. Even now.
Do you put anything else on the bread and butter?
Just butter.
Yeah, that's me as well.
Just butter.
And I love it as well. Now, in my fridge, I have the modern lure pack, which, you know, is easy spread and all that, which is supposed to be lower.
Yeah.
But I
depends if you get the light one, though. Do you get the light one?
No, I'd get the spreadable
full on
one. Yeah, yeah.
Full on.
But I always have the traditional, what I would call, square packed silver foil blocks of butter.
Yes.
Because I love them.
I have both myself. I'll tell you why. Because I cook with butter quite a bit as
well. Right, okay,
Because, like, a lot of the curry that you make calls for butter. You know, I will quite often put a little bit of butter in my pasta.
I love real butter on hot toast.
Yeah.
Love it, because it melts as you're eating it. I love real butter on crusty bread, as you said. I love real butter in my peas, if I've got mushy peas.
Yeah.
I love real butter on fish.
Yeah.
I love real butter on everything.
Uh-huh.
So the
reason you're supposed to be looking after your heart.
Well, I am, but
you
see,
sound like you are.
Oh, no.
Butter do you eat?
I've been saying for years, I don't think butter's bad. Everybody says, oh, it does your levels.
Well, it's cholesterol.
Cholesterol levels. Yeah. I don't think it does. So here's a report for one of my medical journals, okay? Mm. More than 100 academics have accused a leading medical journal of having a pro-butter bias instead of warning about what damage it can do.
Okay.
The British Journal of Sports Medicine is encouraging people to eat fatty foods based on the personal view of its editor, and the allegation is that he is putting in his personal preference rather than a robust science report, okay?
Right.
They have demanded, these are the protesters, right? Yeah. That the editor,
anti-butter protesters. They'll be shutting down the bridges again.
They will. The anti-butter protesters have demanded that the editor-in-chief of the BMJ, the British Medical Journal, that's known pretty well to you and I, because we used to steal stories from them all the time.
When you say steal stories, what you mean is use their stories as a way forward to produce a page lead about a scientific breakthrough.
And they loved us using their stories.
Yeah, they did,
it was great publicity
for them.
We
didn't steal them.
No, well, we lifted them,
Well, you gave them credit.
You did. Investigate the allegations and put in place a better system to stop trust in science being corroded, look at this, pompous fucking nonsense, by contradictory claims based on shaky evidence. evidence. Oh, yeah. The row began last year when the British Journal of Sports Medicine published an opinion piece by doctors arguing that saturated fat did not clog the arteries and insisting...
The arteries.
And insisting that it was carbohydrates, not meat and dairy products, that were bad for the heart.
Right.
And so this scientific row is now going on. So what I'm saying is, the British Journal of Sports Medicine is saying, eat as much butter as you want.
Are you sure?
They're not actually saying that. No. They're saying it's encouraging people to eat fatty foods because they say it does not do as much damage as you've been told it does over the last 20 years. But this happens all the time. Yeah, yeah. We've been told in the last two or three years... eggs are really good for you, and prior to that we were told eggs are bad for you.
Yeah.
We've been told that salt is not necessarily bad for you, it could be good for you.
Well, it's
Previously we were told it's bad for you.
I think you have to be sensible about these
twats
things.
Just don't know what they're doing. And I think every single person should eat what they like to taste.
Really?
That is the best way of judging whether it's good for you or not good for you.
Yeah, I know, but the trouble is now we are promoted and presented with all sorts of massive amounts of food.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, when you go in, even just the other day, I was in buying petrol. At a place on the way between here and Sussex, right?
Will that be a garage?
Well, you call it a garage, but actually, no.
Yeah.
It's actually an outlet of fucking Marks and Spencer's. You know, it happens to sell petrol.
Shouldn't be that rude about Marks and Spencer's. There's nothing wrong with Marks and Spencer's.
Well, there's nothing wrong with Marks
and Spencer's.
They're
a great British institution.
Well, they are, but they're not doing very well,
so
are
they? So
you
have to use profanities about them?
Well, they're not doing very well, are they?
Well,
I think you're fine.
Well, it depends which annual report you get off them.
Well, they can't sell clothes anymore to anybody because nobody wants to buy them.
Depends which area of their business you're talking
about.
Their food
is doing quite well. Their food is doing quite well, but they sell a lot of fatty food.
Mm.
And once you get past the aisles where all of the wine and all of the sandwiches and all of the chicken and all of the salad is, then you get to the bit of the you call it a garage, but it's really not, a bit of the shop which has got huge bags of crisps. It's got massive amounts of chocolate for sale, and you're standing there in a line waiting to pay, and you're just staring at bar after bar after bar of not just one chocolate, but duo chocolate, you know, buy duo Mars bar. Don't buy one Mars bar when you can buy two.
Yeah,
don't buy
right.
one Snickers when you can buy two in one.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's... I never used to believe in actually registering any kind of control over commerce, right?
Yes.
But actually now, I think kids and other people who have no control over their lives...
Yes.
Actually can't be given all this stuff because they don't know when to stop eating it.
Well,
they don't know when to stop.
That's like a Labrador dog.
Well, it is like a Labrador dog.
Ziggy the dog would eat
until he was so full he just exploded.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, literally yesterday, when I was with him, he wouldn't. He just kept coming up and giving me the look, going, you know, like I'm hungry.
Mm.
I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
But
I'm
you
hungry.
Didn't feed him all the time.
Well, you can't.
You can't,
because if you did it every time, he looks beautiful and he gets the doe eyes.
That's right.
And he goes, well, please give me something to eat.
Yeah.
Please give me some of your cheese or some of your ham or some of your bacon.
Yeah, it's
he
not
would,
good.
He would not be fit.
No, I totally agree with that.
But the thing is, you're missing a trick here about the butter, right? Because I heard you mention a particular brand name.
Mm.
Now, I can tell you...
Lurpak.
That is not the best butter you can get your hands on.
Oh, what do you like then?
The best butter that you can get your hands on, particularly the spreadable variety, is Kerrygold.
Kerrygold, Irish Kerrygold. I have that all the time.
Irish Kerrygold is in a green and gold container.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mind which one you use. I prefer the organic block of butter
rather than the Lurpak. I don't like organic.
Do you remember in America you used to get sweet butter rather than salted butter?
Well, it says lightly salted
and
or salted.
No, they do sweet.
No,
or salted.
I don't have sweet butter. Don't
they
have
do sticks
butter.
Of butter in America. Do you remember
so
that?
They do, yeah, of course.
You know,
the
Land O'Lakes.
Yeah,
the Land O'Lakes.
Yeah, I do,
So I used to buy that a lot. But no, Kerrygold, by far and away, the best spreadable butter.
Do you know who...
Because it's a bit thicker than Lurpak.
Do you know who invented Kerrygold?
No.
Dr. Tony O'Reilly.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What, the guy from Heinz?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Dr. Tony O'Reilly, first of all, became a doctor at the same time he was playing
rugby.
He's not
a medical doctor, is he?
He is.
Is he?
He is,
Are you sure he's not a doctor of something else?
No. No, he's a medical doctor.
Are you sure about that?
He's a medical doctor, but he gave up his career... as a medical doctor very early in his life, because he became a doctor, medical doctor, and then started playing international rugby, which he did very successfully, and the Lions, British Lions.
Right. Was he ever a victim of a hate crime?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Not
well,
to my knowledge. But then, you can't make a lot of money as a doctor in those days.
What?
You couldn't make a lot.
Of course you can.
No, in those days you couldn't.
Yeah,
no.
You could.
No, seriously. Anyway.
Doctors have always been well off.
And actually, I think you're right. I don't think he is a medical doctor.
No, I don't think
no,
he
I don't
is.
Think he's a medical
I'm
doctor.
I'm pretty sure he's not.
In fact, I know he's not a medical doctor because if he was a medical doctor, why did he go and work for a food company
a
in Ireland?
Canning company.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And so what
I can tell you a funny story about him as well, but I'll wait till you finish yours.
So what happened is he decided that he had to market products from Ireland better. So he played on the old, it's the Emerald Isle, and we're all lovely people here. We've got lots of leprechauns and all that. He told me all this when I met him in Pittsburgh, I think, was the HQ of Heinz.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I met him over there, and he said, I just told everybody we're all leprechauns. Right. He said, and I called the butter Kerrygold, he said, because it sounded great. Yeah. And it was. It was fantastic.
But it is great butter success. As well, though.
Oh, it's great butter. I
mean,
I love it,
the food's got to be great. But the story I was going to tell you was that, you know, Dermot Begavy, who's now no longer with us, God rest his soul, but never had any money.
Did he ever get his car back before he died?
I don't think he did, no.
And seized back because
and
he didn't
I don't wish to speak ill of the family, but because I do like his wife, Jane. She had her own problems. She had a heart bypass operation.
Yeah, that's not a problem. Bypass
is
easy.
Not a problem.
Bypass is easy.
Well, it's not that easy.
Heart bypass easy.
No, I disagree.
I think Glenn Hoddle's just had one triple or quadruple.
He has. Well, let's
and
hope
he'll
that
be as
he
right as rain
it.
Within
well,
a couple of
so.
Weeks. Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
hope so, because he wasn't right as rain before he had it.
No, he wasn't. No.
You know, that's the point.
Anyway, go
but,
on.
But anyway, so I don't know how impecunious they are now.
Yes.
However, one of the reasons that he was kept afloat was that he had a brother, a far more successful brother, who worked for Tony O'Reilly. And was like the chief honcho.
Begavy?
Yeah.
Really?
He was one of the chief honchos for Heinz Europe.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And was constantly propping him up financially.
Really?
Because he made loads of money from Tony O'Reilly.
Bloody
this
hell.
This guy was practically a millionaire. A huge house in Blackheath.
Yeah.
Whenever they would come to London, they'd stay there.
Bloody
I
hell.
Met the guy a couple of times.
No,
he came to
know.
New York a few times.
Know. Yeah, yeah.
Lovely bloke. Looked exactly like Dermot. Except he wasn't fucking poverty-stricken.
No, exactly.
He had loads of money.
He wasn't a dreamer. And
well, I mean, Dermot was a great writer, you know, a man who achieved many things in his career as a journalist.
He was a dreamer.
Well, but I mean, this guy's brother, whose name I forget, was a lovely guy, but he was constantly having to give him money, you know, to keep him afloat.
And even then, he still got his car seized because he hadn't made the payments. But when I was in Washington, D.C., I lived on the same street as the president, Pennsylvania
Avenue,
number 617,
yeah.
Condoleezza Rice
quite a
lived
long
in
way
the same
away,
block.
Though.
Yeah, yeah, but Condoleezza Rice lived in the same block.
Well, Pennsylvania Avenue goes all the way up to the shitty part of Washington, by the way.
Excuse me, I lived in the very good part.
Well,
I
so you say.
Good, I live in very
but,
good
I mean,
part.
But I mean, just because Pennsylvania Avenue
part.
Means nothing.
Very good part.
Means
mate.
Bugger all.
It's still the same address as the President of the United States of America. I used to, you know, tell young ladies when I came
sure
back
did.
To England, you know, by the way, I live on the same street as the president, you know.
Yeah, but
and
of course,
I'd actually show them my chequebook, you know, which had...
Chequebook?
Yes, that's right. I had a solid chequebook
in those
days.
Why did you have your address in your chequebook?
Well, because you do in America. You have it written
don't.
On each cheque.
Yeah,
no, mine was. Honestly. It was personal.
Ridiculous.
I had a personal account.
You had a personalised account?
Yeah, personalised account.
Well,
yeah.
I never had my address on my chequebook.
Well, I did. And I said, look, that's Pennsylvania Avenue. Trouble is, most of the ladies I was trying to encourage were so thick they didn't even know that the president lived on Pennsylvania Avenue. But anyway,
charming.
Yeah, anyway, the point of the story is also in the block I was in lived a load of Heinz executives, including one guy.
How many? 57 of them.
57, that's right, I love that, yeah. Including one guy who was actually Tony O'Reilly's personal, you know, assistant.
Hey.
I mean, he wasn't even an executive, he was just Tony O'Reilly's gopher.
What was he living in Washington for?
For the power thing, because if you run a big company in America, as you well know, you've got to be at the seat of power all the time to meet the congressmen and the senators and make sure you get your business plans
so
through.
So these guys were like lobbyists then?
Lobbyists,
than,
they were lobbyists basically, And the building I was in, Mike, had a fantastic roof garden. So whenever there was a nice afternoon and the wind wasn't blowing too high, because it was quite a tall building, they'd all come round, we'd all go up in the building, and they would just organise waiters to keep coming up with drink and all sorts of things.
Very
fantastic,
nice.
Yeah.
What did they think you were then?
Hey?
What did they think you were?
Well, I told them I was a supremo, and actually, funny enough, I nearly went to work for Tony O'Reilly because at one stage he owned the papers in Ireland.
That's right, he did the Independent,
That's right, yeah.
The Irish Independent.
Yeah, and I talked to them about going over there and becoming El Supremo, you know.
Well, I imagine your life would have been completely different.
It would have been completely different.
You could have been
different.
Talking with an Irish accent.
Hey.
You might have ended up with Sinead O'Connor.
Hey, you want some butter on your bread? Make sure it's nothing but Kerrygold.
Yeah, we're the two mics. She is responsible for road safety for the police and crime
commission. So she's allowed on the back of my taxes to spout all this propaganda
yes.
about stopping anybody in a car from driving.
Yeah, that's right.
Basically.
Yeah. She wants you to pay 130 quid. Well, you'd be in terrible trouble, actually, if you got done for speeding of any kind.
Yeah.
Because rather like the Ant Deck situation,
yeah.
remember Ant got fined 86 grand?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
It was true that he was drunk driving, which, of course, you don't do.
No.
However, if you get done for speeding,
yeah.
they have the ability now to actually charge you as per your income.
That's right, they do.
So when they find out how wealthy you are,
yeah.
you'll get done for about 50 grand.
I would lie.
What do you mean you would lie?
And I wouldn't pay 50 grand.
You can't lie.
I would.
You can't lie to the police.
I will lie.
That's an offence.
No.
You can't say you'll lie to the police. You must rescind that immediately.
I rescind that immediately. I will not lie to the police. But I will do everything
but
I can.
But you just said you would.
I will do everything I can to make sure...
To mask the truth.
...that I am not unfairly punished for going 3 miles over the speed limit. By the way, when I see somebody with a metal ring...
Yeah.
through their nostril.
Mm.
I think, you dirty bastard.
Yeah.
Because no matter how much you try to blow your nose, some of your snot is going to get...
Why would I want to think about that?
Well, you do. It's going to get you caught by that ring in your nostril, you filthy
guy,
bastard,
Evan,
right?
What's his name? The guy who used to do Newsnight. What's his name? You know, Evan, the tall...
I don't know.
...bald guy.
Well, he's
gone back to Radio 4 now.
Oh, is he?
Evan Davis, is it?
Evan Davis, I think. You're right,
he's
yeah.
got a Prince Albert.
Well, I don't want to get into
Why
that.
Why are you looking at me like that?
That's disgusting.
Well...
These are people from real, dead, rough council housing
Very rough.
Estates,
weren't
they?
Yeah,
what I mean?
But then,
I'm not
women...
suggesting everybody who lives on a council house is dead rough, not for a
no,
moment.
No, of course,
you
wouldn't want to say that.
But, I mean, there are some scumbag estates.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter. Hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.